My Radio 1, Sean Daly. With Sean Daly. From its launch in 1967, right through the 70s to the mid-80s, BBC Radio 1 was probably the world's biggest music station. In this series, I'm introducing you to many of the people behind the network's success during those golden years, as they each tell the story of their Radio 1.
Radio 1 with Sean Tilly.
Jeff Young.
Hey, you, blow your whistle.
Come on, let's go.
Hit it. Strap, jump and dance to it. Being funky.
Never tell you about the ruggamuffin business.
Time we start. Here it is.
Radio 1 FM.
Hey, is this where the party's at?
Getting us underway tonight at the 12-inch from the Jacksons. Nothing that compares to you.
Hi, Sean.
Jeff, it is so lovely to see you. So, obviously, we are going back to a pivotal time in your career. But at what age did you start getting the bug for soul music, you know? And how did you go about hearing those new tunes in those days? Because it wasn't that easy, was it?
No, it wasn't. I mean, basically, I was a bit of a late starter with soul music and then eventually jazz. I didn't really get involved or interested in black music until I was about 17. When I was at school, I was more interested in rock stuff, but blues-based rock stuff. So it was all Jimi Hendrix, Led Zeppelin, that kind of thing. Later on, I was able to look back and say, well, I didn't like Deep Purple and I didn't like Genesis. And that was when I realised it was the blues-based rock, the Stones, that I was kind of gravitating towards. And then at 17, I was exposed to various forms of black music for whatever reason. And that really kind of just took over.
On the radio, I guess it would have been people initially like Mike Raven, Roscoe, David Simmons, Greg Edwards, Robbie Vincent.
Absolutely, that was it. Yeah, yeah. Those guys doing their 2-hour shows, you know, weekly kind of affairs, and you honed in on that. I mean, shortly after those guys, obviously there were pirates, but that's another story, obviously.
Thank you, Peter. That was Peter Latham with the 5:30 news summary.
Boom, 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 boom.
Oh, I feel good this afternoon, I tell you. 3.5 weeks in America's done me. Well, I'm not sure what it's done me, but things are looking up. My name's Dave Simmons, if you didn't know already, and we have a fine show going here this afternoon, up until 6:30, playing mainly soul, because there's a lot of soul I have to catch up on that I haven't heard in this country, because it's been coming out of my ears in America.
BBC Radio London was a feeder station to Radio 1 in terms of soul music DJs. David was the first to cross over in the early to mid-70s, and then at the end of the decade, Robbie got his chance.
Yeah.
And there were other great characters hanging around Radio 1 at that time, such as Froggy and what have you.
Yeah, absolutely. Mainly through Peter Powell's program.
Jeff Young on the BBC. You're joking.
Peter Powell.
Radio 1.
Love that laugh. And welcome to the first of a brand new series on Radio 1, Summer Groove. Me, you know. Froggy, hello.
Hello there. And I'm really raring to go with a great show today. We've got some lovely music for you. Features from The Strikers, Ramsey Lewis and Stargard.
Looking good too.
Oh, I've got my summer shirt on.
Not bad. In my opinion, no better way than to start this programme from the LP Badness than with Morrissey Mullen, a track called Slipstream.
And that came out of the Roadshow, really. You know, Froggy was part of the Roadshow, and he'd done roadshows with Roscoe and DLT and all these kind of people, and that was how that kind of came into the house, as it were.
And by that time, you were becoming very well known as a DJ on the live circuit yourself, and BBC Radio London became your route into broadcasting.
Yeah, absolutely. Mainly through the club DJ, I got to know Robbie, and I was quite shocked when he said to me, oh, you wouldn't mind doing some depping for me on Radio London, would you? And I was a bit shocked because I always thought I was a bit of a Cockney job, and I thought I will never, ever, ever end up on the radio.
New British 45 from Evelyn King should be showing in the charts very shortly. That's Love Come Down. Well, good morning. This is Jeff Young with the second of his summer extravaganzas while Robbie Vincent's on holiday. 29 tracks on the show today, 14 of them new, not necessarily brand new, but definitely new to the show anyway. Stuff includes tracks from The Warriors, Stan Getz, a new LP track from Evelyn King, Tomorrow's Edition, and some excellent new material from people I've certainly not heard of anyway.
So I did dep for Robbie. Robbie on Radio London, and then when he crossed to Radio One, I took the Radio London slot, so that was great for me.
There's another tasty duo for you. The first one was from Junior Walker and a brand new Motown album called Blow the House Down, which apart from Closer Than Close, which was the track we played you, it also includes a new version of Willie Hutch's In and Out, which was quite interesting. And that, of course, is the SOS band, Tell Me If You Still Care. And those two are for Ed and all the guys on Thursdays down at Flappers. And Darren wants to say hello to the Valentino's crowd. Lyndon T, Tuesday night, Jean-Pierre says thanks to all the people that have given him lots of support down there. Now, if you'd like a dedication on the show on our Loving Over London spot, or if you'd like to contribute to our Tricky Trio, or even just a normal little deddy, all you got to do is write in to Jeff Young, BBC Radio London, 35A Marylebone High Street, London West 1, and we'll do what we can to read them out. We do get rather a lot, so please don't get upset if we don't get to your one, but do write in and we'll see what we can do for you.
Radio being a completely different discipline to being a club DJ, but it seemed to come naturally to you, even when you listen back to those early programmes.
Eventually you kind of get your flow and you sort of get a bit of confidence and you begin to flow a bit better. But I've always loved radio because, you know, you haven't got to worry about filling a dance floor. So therefore, what you can play and the way you can put a program together is so much more interesting. And so radio has always been the thing that I really, really enjoy.
And whatever you do, don't forget Tony Blackburn every day here on BBC Radio London, 9 till midday, playing you all the best in funk and soul and the top 42. Tony's playing so much funk these days. It's just unbelievable.
Enthusiasm is a key word as well, isn't it? Because that, you know, bleeds through the radio. And I think anybody that's listening to you, particularly in the genre of music that you were becoming famous for playing, when they hear you getting excited about something, that's quite infectious.
Well, yeah, it's the joy of finding something new that drives you on, I think. I mean, I'm still like it now. I still get very, very excited when I find a new artist or somebody says to me, oh, go and listen to this track by so-and-so. If I couldn't feed off new things, I wouldn't do it. If I still just had to play the same stuff I was playing 25, 30 years ago, I wouldn't be doing it. It's the joy of the new that keeps it going.
It was an exciting time, the early to mid-1980s, because a lot of the stuff that you were playing first, and Robbie, and dare I say it, Tony Blackburn, who brought soul to the mainstream on Radio London during the week. I mean, it became so successful in the charts.
Yeah, it did. And it was really interesting how a record could be broken in a series of clubs, a network of clubs. The record never got a play on radio apart from those specialist programmes, and it could fly into the chart of 15 or something. And that was a real big thing for us clubbers, you know, that we could have an effect on the chart, have an effect on the music, spread the word of the music. That was a great thing for us.
Well, there I was, rummaging around my radio wave band when, grapple me great nuts, there we was, Jeff Young. What a funky little creature he is.
If I said to you, Sunday the 13th of January 1985, I'll give you a further clue, right? 9 o'clock. Do you remember why that date is so significant in your career?
Well, I can guess. It was probably the first time I was on air, I think.
On Radio
On
One.
On Radio
yeah,
One.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. Was I on the week after, do you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's a two-week debt that you did.
Yeah, okay.
What a thrill, Jeff. All of a sudden, you're doing it, obviously, on Radio London. And it was a great time for Radio London because it was the soul music station in London. But then you're taking it to a whole new level. It's national.
Yeah.
And obviously, that makes your name even bigger around other parts of the country.
Absolutely. And the interesting thing about that was I was already doing more dancey kind of things on Radio London. But when I depped for Robbie, I tended to leave those things out. I kept it as a very soulful kind of program, you know, kept it true to the word, I guess. So I didn't get into that kind of dancing arena in those days. But yeah, I and again, it's a bit nerve-wracking, obviously. But it was great coming into the building and meeting people that I'd heard of through various other people, and there I was in the Radio 1 environment. It was really exciting.
So from me, Jeff Young, have a funky weekend and I'll see you next week.
I've got a little story about the second show. The reason I asked if it was a series of two, I was at my house with my parents and I lived in East Grinstead at the time, and we were having a nice Sunday afternoon, and I said, oh, let's better get ready to go up to London for the show. And we looked out the window and we didn't realise it had been snowing.
Oh, you know,
and there was this amazing snow outside that fell in like half an hour, and I had to get my parents home as well. So I had to crawl around the M25 to drop my parents off, then get into London as quickly as I could. And I was half hour, not late for the show, but normally you had to be here an hour before.
Preparation time.
So I got here half hour late, and I, you know, when I got up here, Mike Hawkes was ringing my home. Where is he? Where is he?
That's Juicy. All work, no play from their album Spread Love. And you've just joined the Sound of Sunday Night. You are late. We have been here half an hour. It's an Easter Sunday dance special. And risking life and limb is my rhythm pal, Jeff Young, who's fought his way through T-shirts which say things like the Weymouth Soul Patrol. Jeff, are you safe?
Yes, Robbie, I'm still safe. Thank you very much. I have some of the funky ladies of press sat in with me right now. We've got people here from all over the UK this weekend. What's your name?
My name's Alison Morton, and I'm from Grays in Essex.
Grays in Essex, my word. There are a few here from Grays in Essex. Are you enjoying yourself this weekend?
I certainly am.
You carried on depping for Robbie Vincent throughout 1986 and 87. You also became somewhat of a double act on various Radio 1 Soul weekenders until you were finally given your own programme. So how did you find rubbing along with the more show-busy side of the network, as you are now on the same station every week as some very big radio stars, many of whom were household faces, of course, appearing on Top of the Pops and other TV shows?
Well, I found it a little bit intimidating initially, but after a while, I thought I began to find my own level. And what I mean by that is that I knew I could never do what some of those, particularly the daytime guys, did. I couldn't do that. But then they couldn't do what I did. Mm. And so I came to terms with the fact, look, this is what I do. I have my level. I can do this. They can't. I can't do what they do. And it all sort of calmed down and made sense, and they were all very welcoming. I know there was a little bit of Mickey taking, you know, about the whole dance thing and everything else, but yeah, it was fine.
Mind you, having said that, we talked about the success of it all, particularly early to mid 80s when it's bleeding into the charts.
Yeah,
the irony is they'd have had to have been playing some of that music.
Yeah, absolutely. I think really the dance thing took its hold just after that period, which is why the big beat came about. There was a lull in UK guitar bands, and music wasn't particularly thriving, but this whole dance thing just kept growing and growing and growing, and a lot of it was coming from independent UK labels instead of the Americans, who we used to rely on heavily.
From Prince's band The Revolution, that's Eric Leeds, Dr. Fink, Levi Caesar, and Mr. John Lewis as their alter ego, Madhouse, and a cut called 15. Really like that quite a lot. That's for Big H Jenkins and his wife Sue in Ivor in Bucks. 15, is that the number of kids? Who knows?
Radio 1.
And the soul continues on the Sound of Saturday Night. Some real soul from Miami, and one of the ladies of soul, Betty Wright, Miami Groove.
Were you in more demand all of a sudden in terms of outside of London with club gigs and weekenders?
Yeah, particularly after I'd started the Big Beat. And the thing about the Big Beat, it was absolutely huge around the country. It was okay in London, but it was never deemed to be particularly hip, I don't think, really.
A good soul album from Broomfield, which, like the Betty Wright album, comes from Miami, Florida. So there's some good stuff coming out of Miami at the moment. Whatever you do, stick around. Don't forget those ballads are coming your way. We'll be back with Earth, Wind and Fire.
Honey, I got rhythms I haven't used yet.
Say, kids, what time is it?
It's 8:30, and Debbie Kelly has the headlines.
I'd go up to Scotland for various reasons, other business reasons as well. And when I was up there, I could just see how big it was. I remember going up there for a band thing sponsored by Yamaha. And I had to record my programme because I was going up to Glasgow. And I remember about 8:30 at night walking down one particular street in Glasgow, going past chip shops, sweet shops, this shop, that shop, and they all had the programme on. And cars would go past and they all had the programme on. And I was actually quite shocked I was a bit naive about it all, I think. And it was a great shot in the arm to understand that what you were doing was really having an effect.
Radio 1, 1053, 1089, and a bit of FM 2.
Jeff Young, him wicked, you know.
The the first few months I was finding my feet, it was a bit of a learning process. I found it quite interesting that I couldn't just pick up what I was doing at Radio London and drop it in Radio 1 and it carry on as smoothly as it had done previously. I just had to mess around with the programme, jigging records around, jigging genres around to get it to flow that the way that I wanted to. But what was interesting, I think I went on in October 87 and we had some sort of a rage hour the following April. Mm. There'd obviously been one or two before that. But I remember someone calling me in to a meeting, and this April one, suddenly I was shooting up the top of the graph. And so it took 6 to 8 months to kind of get the thing rolling and get it the way it needed to be and pick up a bit of a head of steam. But once we picked up the head of steam, it really kind of did the business.
Tell me about the name then, the Big Beat. How did you decide on that?
Well, okay, I mentioned earlier on that I've got a very broad musical taste, and I had a broad musical taste within dance as well. You know, I loved hip-hop, house, straight soul, all this kind of thing. And so I used to deliberately give my show programmes a generic name so that I could take them where I wanted to, so that people couldn't say, oh, why is he playing that? Well, the show's called The Big Beat, and basically I can play what I like, and that's how it works. I always avoided calling it The Dance Show or The Soul Show, because then I'm kind of setting a bunch of criteria which I'm apparently not allowed to step outside of. So that's where the generic name came from.
You've talked about Mike Hawkes producing you in the early days. These old-time Radio 1 producers were still, you know, wielding a lot of power at the BBC at that time, and all fantastic at their job. But in terms of producing somebody like yourself, I guess they had very little to do, because you were going in there with such a clear idea in your mind of what you were going to play.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, I chose all of the music. I mean, sometimes the guys at Radio 1 would go, oh, listen, have you heard this? Have you heard this? Which was great. Sometimes you take it on board, sometimes you wouldn't. But yeah, I think it's a bit different for these guys to have someone like me come in with a very set bunch of ideas. Mm. I think initially when I first came in, I had a couple of people kind of want me to do the show like a regular strip show. And it's like, nah, you know what? I'm not going to be playing those records that are in the chart. They're not for me. It's not what this program's about. But Hawksy was great. He kind of let you do what you wanted. If you wanted help, he was there to do it, particularly when I was interviewing people like Chuck D, Ice-T, LL Cool J, all these kind of characters that were coming through at the time. He was great helping me do the interviews themselves, sometimes with the editing and stuff like that, because, man, I'm telling you, editing Chuck D on a quarter-inch piece of tape, it took days.
Can you still lay back a bit off the mic?
Mm-hmm. Would
it be easier for us to move the mic?
That's
cool. Okay, you all right?
Yeah, I'll move back.
Okay, let's talk about the record. Okay.
I'm here. You know,
like no.
See, it took me a long time, and you should definitely put this on in. It took me a long time. Well, after recording for about a month and a half or 2 months, I yell and I curse a lot, and I'm really kind of getting back to the way of speaking properly, the way I'm supposed to. But that won't kick back until maybe 3 weeks from now.
Paul Williams, you work with for
a
time.
Yeah, I work with Willie. Yeah, Willie again, he was my first man, really. Mm. And it was a kind of an interesting relationship, because, again, he was the guy I was alluding to that wanted the program to be like another Radio 1 programme. And I don't blame him for that. I don't think anyone sat down and said to him, look, this isn't going to be like that, so you've got to give this bloke a bit of head or something. So Willie, in his eccentric way, we talk about it. It was a bit of a Brian Clough thing. I would talk to Willie, and after 20 minutes, I'd say it would be, yep, that's the way we're doing it, Willie. You know, and the thing about him, when I say it was interesting, they gave him the job of doing a mammoth series on Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
And a few months into our working relationship, he was gone into the depths of the BBC editing hours and hours. They interviewed McCartney for a week at his house.
Yeah.
And I never saw him. And so, which I didn't mind in a funny kind of way. But eventually I had a meeting with Johnny Beerling, and he said, how are you getting on with Willie? And I said, Johnny, I'm not being funny. I haven't spoken to him for months. And he said, and Beerling was like aghast. And so that was when Mike Hawkes came into the picture. So, it wasn't Paul's fault or anything. He was just so up to his neck and beyond in Paul McCartney.
And, of course, a great producer of those kind of documentaries.
Yeah, yeah.
We're talking wonderful Radio 1 characters here, aren't we?
Yeah.
The early 70s began with James Brown, the dominant sound in clubs and discos in southern England. London, in particular, had taken funk to its heart. DJs Tony Monson and Chris Hill.
By the early 70s, there'd been quite an important move in America. The street funk thing was coming through. I mean, James Brown had sort of got a new lease of life, and there were lots of bands that were making kind of weird little one-off records. You know, they make a couple of records you never heard from them again.
I'm talking of documentaries. You fronted the celebrated Radio 1 series Out on the Floor, which was a history lesson of disco right through to, well, I guess we're at the rave stage now in three parts.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That must have been great to do.
Yeah, it was. I loved doing all that, the whole kind of research thing and then looking at scripting and all that kind of thing. It was a nice thing to learn, actually.
By 1976, the young blacks in the ghetto areas of New York had finished with the washed-out sound of disco music. They were moving to the rhythm of a different beat, the beat of hip-hop. At wild parties in the South Bronx, DJs such as Kool Herc, Afrika Bambaataa, and Grandmaster Flash were creating new music using two turntables, a mixer, and a selection of percussion breaks from old funk records. Meanwhile, upstage, young kids would take a microphone and rap over the rhythm, telling stories, boasting of their prowess, or simply urging the crowd to dance.
And you were the first to showcase hip-hop on Radio 1. I mean, Looking for the Perfect Beat was another documentary that you did. But it's incredible now when you look at Radio 1 as it is now, of course, being a youth-orientated station.
Yeah.
Hearing this kind of music is no big surprise now. But at the time, this was really cutting edge.
Yeah, it was. And again, what I was doing with the Big Beat at the time, I was trying to mix all of these musics, different genres, etc., together. So it would be a dancey soul thing, it would be a hip hop thing, it might be a new house thing. But eventually, I found as much as I loved the hip hop, it was just getting in the way. So, in a kind of way, I ghettoized it to the last hour of the program and I turned it into this hour within the framework of the Big Beat that we called National Fresh. And I thought that was a much better way of showcasing new hip-hop acts.
Radio 1 FM, National Fresh, with Jeff Young. Beats, rhymes and bass lines coming up in the next hour from Digital Underground, BDP, The Doc. We've got some Kid and Play, Eric B and Rakim, The Jungle Brothers, and a host of other good things this evening. Including a rap track much in demand with the In Vogue breakbeat running underneath.
Again, that was a tremendously exciting time because it wasn't just about Public Enemy and De La Soul. There was X-Clan and all these other kind of really left-field interesting things going on within hip-hop. So that's how I kind of eventually dealt with it. I know Peely liked The Last Hour quite a bit. He used to lock into that, I think, and get his shot of hip-hop that way.
I mean, this is an impossible question, but I've got to ask it. If there's any one standout song or maybe two or three from that period that you're most proud of breaking in terms of a national audience on Radio 1?
Well, I think I was really pleased to be able to present Public Enemy to a wider audience. I thought what they did at the time was just immensely exciting. It was so powerful, lyrically. Chuck D, I mean, he's still absolutely frightening. I mean, the stuff he puts up on Twitter is just jaw-dropping. And then, really, it wouldn't be one record, it would be a genre. It was all those early house records that were coming through. And what was great about the house thing was that when it first emerged, it was very, very instrumental-based. And I always remember saying to people like Tongi, look, if these guys put songs on this stuff, it would be really dangerous. And eventually they did. They weren't necessarily pop songs, but they were songs, and it took that music to another level, and obviously a lot of chart success.
National Fresh.
On the wheels and dickles. On the wheels and dickles.
I mean, you finally left the network in 1991, but safe to say that you certainly left a legacy as a Radio 1 trailblazer. paving the way. You've mentioned Pete Tong and Tim Westwood as well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, after I left Radio 1, I went off to, I was doing, well, I was working for record companies, and I ended up with a mastering company. And Pete came back to me and said, look, we want to put this company together. Matthew wants us to provide more dance music. And we basically just acted as a go-between between the management here and Tim Westwood. And we made the introduction, and then the rest is history. But we were also really pleased to be able to bring in Danny Rampling, Judge Jules. We were already doing the Essential Mix. That was already one of our programs, you know, Pete's brainchild. So we were doing all kinds of things, demoing people for future shows. So, yeah, sometimes the shows we suggested got taken very quickly, and sometimes they didn't. Like, we kept saying to them, you know, you should take Giles Peterson. And they were like, oh, we're not sure about that. And eventually, a few years later, they did. But yeah, that was another great period. We took Radio 1 to Ibiza for the first time. That was our idea. The first year we went, we just took Pete, Danny, maybe one other DJ, and a small production crew, satellite truck, which Richard Earl drove out there. And then the year two, we added Dave Pierce, and then year three was the year they took the whole factory. Everyone went. It was just like, wow. So and obviously they've been there ever since. So that was, we were quite pleased to be able to do that again. It was a bit of an innovation. No other radio station had done it. But that's the great thing about the BBC, you can do these things. You can't necessarily do it if you're in commercial radio.
Especially these days, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And what's lovely is, Jeff, anybody listening to this series right now will not have realised that you still played such an important part working alongside the radio station after your own programme finished.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You were able to keep that association going.
Yeah, it was really good. And again, it was really interesting coming in here and having meetings on a business level, you know, talking about budgets, you know, how are we going to get 30 people to Spain and all this kind of thing. And the other thing we used to do as part of the Essential Mix, we used to go to a club around the country on a monthly basis, different clubs, different areas, for a live broadcast. So we were always involved in live and all kinds of things. And yeah, it was always pretty challenging.
Jeff Young, how lovely to see you, and thanks very much for coming in and sharing your Radio 1.
Thank you very much, Sean. Cheers.